This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is a new accreditation scheme by the government which recognises Sharia-compliant accommodation for tourists.
Some of the criteria that are assessed include things like proximity to mosques and Islamic attractions, in-room prayer facilities like prayer mats, halal-certified restaurants and segregated swimming pools for women, or at least a special time schedule for Muslim women.
Yeah, so this is one of the ways that the government is capitalising on the growing halal tourism industry in the country. Because last year we had something like 5.2 million Muslim tourists coming to our into Malaysia. And Muslim tourists, especially from the Middle East, are the biggest spenders in our tourism industry. So it's a very big revenue-making opportunity for Malaysia.
Right. And as of now, 12 hotels have received this accreditation. Although, do we know which hotels?
No, we don't.
I'd be curious because I'm assuming, I don't know whether then they would have actually built the hotels, you know, to try and accommodate it especially, or whether they kicked in changes after. But anyway, around the country you have 12. It would also be interesting to see how other hotels respond to this accreditation and how much of an impact it's going to have on their business, because like you said, 5.2 million Muslim tourists, that's a lot of money.
I mean, in terms of sort of following the standards that are being set under this accreditation scheme, a lot of it doesn't necessarily have to require you to rebuild the hotel or anything like that. Because is some of it is just things like providing a prayer mat and indicating where the direction of prayer is, or even things like, you know, providing halal food in your restaurants, or at least allocating a special time for Muslim women to use the gym and pools. But for other aspects, such as it being located near a mosque or Muslim attractions.
Yeah.
So this accreditation is divided into three tiers, which is something like gold, silver, platinum or something like that.
Ooh.
And that is dependent on how many of these criteria you fulfill. So if you achieve less, then it's the silver one. If it's more, then you get the gold or platinum.
It sounds like you can be geo-locked out of criteria simply because you're just further away from Islamic attractions. And I'm not sure if that's necessarily fair, I guess, to some of the hotels that may be situated in, say, more eco-tourism-friendly areas.
It also comes down to, I think, what people are looking for when they book a hotel room, right? So there is no doubt, and I've heard more than once of the struggles that Muslim travellers face very often when you're trying to find, you know, just halal food or even pork-free food when you're travelling in certain countries. And also just being in a space that doesn't necessarily, I guess that doesn't necessarily centre your needs in the same way that a country like Malaysia would. So it's completely understandable that you would want, at the end of a long day of travel, to be able to come back to a space where you know for a fact that it's accounted for. But then I'm thinking of all the other reasons people book hotels, right? Like luxury, you know, like location, like just the feeling of, yes, I'm on holiday. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether when you throw all those various things into the mix, how important would it be to be Sharia compliant? You know, I'm not certain.
And for me, I mean, the struggles of a Muslim traveller is mainly when you go to a non-Muslim majority country. That's when you face troubles looking for halal food and facilities that suit your needs. But this accreditation, accreditation is for Malaysian hotels, which is a Muslim majority country. And most of the restaurants here are halal restaurants. So there's also a question of whether it is really necessary to have this kind of recognition for hotels. I mean, compared to how it's more important for Muslim travellers to have this kind of recognition in non-Muslim majority countries.
I kind of compare it to people who might be traveling while being more environmentally conscious. Perhaps that might just be an additional plus point to being able to choose the hotel, right? If I know that hotel uses green energy, if I know that hotel, for example, encourages you to reuse your towels instead of one use and then they urge you to get it rewashed, for example, I think that counts for a certain segment of tourists and travellers?
I think a lot of it is probably going to do with just pure peace of mind, right? I agree. I do think that, especially here in our country, where for the most part, you know, broadly speaking, you are never really that far away from somewhere to eat. You're never really that far away from... I've never been in a hotel room in Malaysia that did not indicate the direction of prayer, you know, not have the necessary things in the room in order to worship. So I'm not certain, like you said, how important that is here, but I think it's just a stamp. It's like, you know for a fact, you won't even have to think about it.
Yeah, so when foreign Muslim tourists come here, they know, okay, they can be confident that the food in this hotel is halal, so we don't have to go through the trouble of Googling where things are and whatnot. So you can just go downstairs, eat, and we're done.
Also, thank you very much to one of our listeners, Wisely, who has said before that they work in the tourism industry.
Yes.
So, and sent through the list. Earlier we were saying, what is the 12? And so now we know it's things like the Movenpick Hotel and Convention Centre, KLIA, Hotel Grand Blue Wave, Shah Alam. In Penang, it's the Light Hotel, PNB Perdana Hotel and Suites. So it's just a bunch of different spaces. And it's pretty spread out across the country, actually, up to Kota Kinabalu, Kuantan. So just a few, you know, just kind of scattered throughout. And let us know. I mean, I want to know for you guys, is it important? You know, is the idea of a Muslim-friendly hotel having that stamp on the door or that little sticker when you're looking at booking a hotel, will it make a difference for you? Are you still going to prioritize things like the comfort of the bed, the luxury of the stay, the value of the hotel overall? Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this to speak with Shaharuddin M. Said, who is the Executive Director of the Malaysian Association of Hotels. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:13 in the evening and you're listening to Lynn, Ayman and Kelvin. We're talking today about the, let me say this again because it was just so delightful, Muslim-friendly tourism accommodation recognition. I really think they could have come up with a slightly catchier name than that. But basically, it's a new accreditation scheme by the government that recognizes Sharia-compliant accommodation for tourists. And so we would like to hear from you when you're traveling or when you're looking at booking a hotel. Would this make a difference? The fact that the hotel in question is Sharia-compliant, is that going to add up when you think about whether or not you want to stay somewhere? Let us know by calling 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
We're now joined by Shaharuddin M. Said, the Executive Director of the Malaysian Association of Hotel Owners. Thanks so much for being with us on the show. What were your first thoughts on introducing formal accreditations for hotels that are Sharia compliant?
Okay, firstly, I must correct the term of Sharia compliant. Actually, we are in the tourism. Actually, we do not want to go into Sharia compliance concept because it's more of a religious requirement. We are going actually for Muslim friendly, which is more towards service standards and service required by Muslim guests. So in the case of this new program, they are putting one category, Sharia compliant, based on the highest compliance of the Muslim service from the hotels. Because they got three grades, you know, platinum, gold and silver. So when they put under Sharia compliant, it's not so much of a tourist requirement, but it will be more towards religious compliance of the service by the hotel. So we actually, frankly, the hotels are not very comfortable to adopt Sharia compliance. We also don't want to put our hotel as halal hotel, halal friendly, because as I say, we don't want to relate it to our religious requirement, religious procedure. We always say Muslim friendly. For your information, even before this introduction of this program, hotels rating under the Ministry of Tourism criteria, we have services that hotels should provide to the Muslim customers, Muslim guests, under the rating system. See, like having a kilbat sign in the room, providing praying mats, and some have to provide maybe these praying times, and in the toilet, they have to have a bidet or a host, and also some big hotels, we require them to have surau, and some also providing the praying mats and the ladies' praying garments. But most important thing in the Muslim-friendly is the food and drinks, actually. So that's the main item actually the hotel actually providing. So we actually encourage hotels to go for Muslim friendly by getting their kitchen certified halal or having their restaurant certified halal by Jakim. That's the main one actually.
Okay, and those are standards that we've come to expect from most hotels in Malaysia. But are there other more unique requirements that Muslim guests have when they visit Malaysia? Maybe something that skews more towards the criteria of Sharia compliance or Muslim friendly?
Not so much actually. What we also try to provide some recreational facilities, for them. Like the ladies want to go to swimming pool or use a gym. So some hotels are providing this service to this kind of guests by having separate facilities or by assigning different times of use. I mean, men certain time, ladies certain time for this. But not many are doing because this requirement by the hotel guests is not much actually. Beside the one that I mentioned about food and drinks and convenience for doing prayers.
Right, and you know, you did mention earlier that you're not comfortable with that label, halal friendly, Sharia compliant. Do you see value then in the government issuing this accreditation?
Well, I can only say it depends on the hotel, business model. Because if they think that their main guests will be Muslim guests or who actually prefer very much this kind of service from the hotel, they might want to, promote this kind of service to the guests for the hotel. But I think the hotel have to decide whether this will be added value to them or not, depending on the business model.
How feasible are the criteria to reach the various levels of accreditation?
For silver and gold, there's no problem. I think at the moment, most of the hotels being rated by Ministry of Tourism, I'm one of the panel in the committee, they are complying to this. They have to have the surau or kiblat sign and bidet. Otherwise, they cannot achieve the required points to get the rating, So those hotels who achieve 4, 5 star or even 3 star, they have complied to the minimum of this requirement. So there's no problem. The smaller ones, they are not in position to provide as many, but they can of course do like a kiblat sign in the room. They can do, no problem. So we actually not very concerned on this because the hotels are already providing this kind of Muslim friendly service to the guests. Only thing now there is a higher criteria of Sharia compliance category which gives a platinum, which actually added extra requirement like they have to have separate facilities for the ladies or guests and the main guests for gym and swimming pool or assigning different time, and they have to have a Sharia officer in the hotel. But in for your mention, for those hotels having a halal certification, they are required by Jakim to have as halal executive. So this hotel who have a halal certificate for their kitchen and restaurant in the hotel, they already have this personnel in the hotel under Jakim requirement of halal executive. So now they are saying about Sharia officer. I think it's quite redundant because halal executive should be able to cover the duties for the Sharia official because as far as food is concerned.
So do you see any challenges or drawbacks to becoming a halal certified hotel?
No, basic problem will be how to sustain firstly on the halal certification by Jakim, the food part, That is most difficult because that is the official requirement. Okay, if you cannot comply, be consistent in complying to the halal certification requirement, then you will not get the halal certificate. Once you don't have a halal certificate, the total program accreditation will be withdrawn. Number one. Number two, we have some issue of manpower. The Muslim service staff that is supposed to provide the service, we may have problem in maintaining staff because hotels have difficulty in maintaining staff. So these are the main things I think should be a major concern. Providing facilities, hardware is not much a problem. Manpower and also complying to the halal certificate requirement is something of a concern.
So, I mean, really, this comes down to the effects, right? To the value of it. So what impact do you see this having on the tourism industry? Would having this accreditation end up attracting more Muslim tourists to visit our country?
Not really. It's not. It will not go into that area much. It's only more towards the accreditation, the impact or the value added to the hotel. I think that is more rather than we're going to have an influx of Muslim tourists coming. At the moment, we are already getting Muslim tourists coming, even before we have this program, even before we push hard on Muslim friendly, because generally it's been a practice by the hotels to extend this kind of service to Muslim guests. As I said, food, halal food under halal certification, drinks, and also the convenience to do prayers and things like that, no? And as for this country, we are a Muslim country. People assume that we have these facilities already all the time.
Would accreditation have made more sense for non-Muslim countries where access to halal foods and activities might be a bit more limited?
Exactly. That's why you see now Japan, Korea, Taiwan are pushing hard for Muslim friendly. You know, especially Japan, they're pushing for the Olympic 2020. They are now focusing to the Muslim tourists to their country and providing facilities for prayers at the airport. They're having surau, and for Olympics, I read news that they're providing mobile surau, lorry, container size lorry, which can be expanded and put in people around 50 people to do prayers, things like that. And also going active for providing halal food at some of the restaurants with halal certified food from the Muslim Islamic authority or bodies in Japan. Korea is the same thing. So this country actually, now they are trying to tap the Muslim tourists of the world because they know it's a big population. The numbers, I think, was more than 1 billion, I think. So people are trying to grab this kind of business, especially for the non-Muslim countries.
Right, and if we want to compete with these up-and-coming Muslim tourism destinations, what do you think the tourism industry here should be focusing on?
Well, I think the personalized service is quite important because we are having difficulty in providing the soft service, that is the manpower part. Because hospitality is a people-oriented business. So if we can actually have a better manpower pool for service, this is actually teaching of Islam. We have to be polite, we have to be nice, accommodative, cooperative, and all those good things we're supposed to extend to guests is part of teaching of Islam. So we have to do it and show to people that it's happening. And this can only be done through people, you know, service. Of course, facilities we can do. We can provide all the good rooms with the Qibla sign, bidet, surau, but it's still not free from a human aspect of service. So we still need people to serve. Maybe you must know what type of country they come from, their religious background, things like that. I think we need a bit more skilled people to handle this type of Muslim-friendly service rather than a general service to the guests.
Shaharuddin, thank you so much for joining us. That was Shaharuddin M. Syed, Executive Director of the Malaysian Association of Hotel Owners, weighing in on this idea of a
Muslim-friendly certification.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the points that Shaharuddin raised reflect what you were saying earlier, Ayman, which is that we kind of already inherently are.
Yeah, exactly. So because we're in a Muslim majority country, so a lot of the food here is mostly halal. So the need for this certification is quite redundant, really.
Well, I guess it might just be formalizing and adding a slight PR spin to this that might, at the end of the day, just benefit the hotels in some way. Maybe.
But I also wonder what the impact would be, perhaps on non-Muslims. I mean, I understand that this is definitely there to appeal to the Muslim tourists, mm-hmm. but whether or not non-Muslim tourists are going to, you know, look at whatever this certification ends up looking like and how that would feel, I think, is something that we can discuss. I think that we also have a caller on the line who wants to address this. Vishnu, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening. Well, I understand the rationale behind why the government might want to do something like this, but as a traveler, this would definitely be a benchmark of hotels I would not want to go to because of the confusion that could come out of it. Imagine if I was there and I wanted to swim with my wife and kids. The enforceability of these laws that have segregation elements to it would open up a whole can of worms that I don't want to deal with. Therefore, I would definitely use this as a benchmark of places to avoid at all costs. Not complaining about the reasoning behind it or the value of it. It's just something that personally does not fit with my objectives and criteria.
Fair enough, Vishnu. Thank you so much. And I think that that point about objectives and criteria is so important because people book hotels for different reasons. If you want a hotel where you are very, very, very sure that you are going to feel comfortable as a person of faith, then I can understand that. Personally, that's not why I book hotels. I book hotels because, are your rooms pretty? Is my view nice? Is the bed soft? You know, I just, when I book a hotel room, I want like, I want to feel like I'm on holiday. and so I actually echo what Vishnu says. Like, I think that if there is a hotel where there are strong elements of segregation, where it's not so much the... I don't think it's the calls to prayer and things like that. Those, as a Malaysian, as someone who grew up here, I don't think that stuff would bother you. Mm-hmm. But knowing that there are segregated times, you know, perhaps some spaces that are going to be divided off, I think that doesn't exactly make you feel like you're in a warm, welcoming space.
Yeah, especially for maybe foreign tourists who are non-Muslims, when they come here and they see this kind of practice being done where there are certain times for Muslims only. So that may make them feel a bit isolated.
We have Izha on the line now. Izha, good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hello. Good evening.
Good evening.
Yeah. I just want to add on your comment before on us really being a Muslim country. Yeah, I think as a Muslim country, I mean, it's a norm that our hotels should be Muslim-friendly. So instead of labeling our hotels as a Muslim-friendly hotel, I mean... I had a person just now, the executive director, pointed that the main issue would be having our restaurants, the restaurants, halal compliant. So instead of having a Muslim-friendly label on the hotel, we should ensure that all hotels are Muslim, are halal certified. And international-wise, I mean, we can be an example to non-Muslim countries then of how does a Muslim-friendly hotel work.
Izha, thank you for calling and for sharing that. I think because right now the entire guidelines of what this would entail aren't super clear yet. Mm-hmm. I don't know what actually that halal certification would look like. Does that mean that, for example, what would the minibar look like? Just to put it that way, you know. So I'm not, I don't know what that would necessarily entail.
Or whether there would be some amount of flexibility to it. Like, for example, PNB Perdana Hotel, they do allow for guests to consume non-halal food and drinks in only their rooms. And once they check out, the rooms undergo a special cleaning process to make sure it gets back to its original halal state.
And I do agree with Izha on his second point about how this could be a model for other countries who are non-Muslim majority. They can see how this works out, what are the criteria's that work and what doesn't. And so it'll be interesting to see how this works as an experiment for other countries.
If you have any thoughts, you know, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 5:39. Earlier, who had mentioned, had kindly supplied the list of the 12 hotels, says Malaysia has no problems at all to handle Middle Eastern tourists. Muslim travellers have simple requirements. I've been to Saudi Arabia asking what they want. So the most important things, which I believe our guest earlier mentioned too, halal food, Qiblat in the room, prayer room in the hotel, and a wash bidet. That's a must.
So it seems like maybe the recognition perhaps take it to the highest level possible, right? I think in terms of what the premium Muslim traveler might be looking for example.
Yeah, and judging by the list that our listener provided just now, it seems that a lot of it is already provided in Malaysian hotels, but it's just the halal food requirement that may be questionable for Middle Eastern travellers, because some hotels serve alcohol at the restaurants.
And we have a message here, I guess more or less with regards to that, coming through from Nick, that says, for some very pious Muslims, the fact that some hotels serve alcohol makes it haram by extension. Thus, for these niche situations, a Muslim-friendly certification would help provide for them, but I assume it's not a major issue for many.
Yeah, I mean, because certainly in Malaysia itself, because there's plenty of halal restaurants around the hotel. So, I mean, in the case of Malaysia, I would think that requirement wouldn't really big, be a big deal for a Muslim tourist?
Yeah, I reckon by the time you've decided that Malaysia is going to be your destination, part of the factoring in of that, aside from our durian and our beaches and our hornbills and our hibiscus and whatever else, is going to be the fact that I know for a fact that I can be catered to here. I know that it's not going to be that difficult to find food, for example.
I guess it shows that one of Malaysia's strengths as a attraction for Muslim tourists is that there's just plenty of options. So even if your hotel doesn't fulfill your needs, there are just so many other options that you can do for food.
We have a message here from Anwar who says, we should just focus on Malaysian hospitality because, as others have said, it's redundant. We're a Muslim majority country to begin with.
We're already dealing with local tourists, right? And it would make it would be an easy assumption, and one that would be very correct, that for those who might be visiting from other Muslim nations, they are easily accommodated too.
And we have a WhatsApp here from Chi Liang, and he says, halal certified hotels would have further implications in the supply chain.
Yeah, and I think that just speaks to the fact that right now, halal certification is big money, you know, in general, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you are able to go through all the work of getting a halal certification, a lot of the time it's because you recognize that there are huge benefits to that, right? It opens you up to a lot of different markets. It opens you up to many different things. And yeah, you're absolutely right. It would have further implications. Bad and good, I think. It's kind of a mix.
Yeah, and I guess how far it might... But it might also actually make for building for an entirely new kind of economy, one that's specifically focused on providing for hotels that might want to get into their accreditation, providing for restaurants that might want to cater to certain audiences more.
You can keep those thoughts coming. You know, does it matter to you whether a hotel is Muslim friendly, or do you think, like a couple of listeners have already suggested, just... Most of the hotels in the country, if not all, are already Muslim friendly because we are a Muslim majority country. But also, when you're booking a hotel room, does it matter? You know, is it something that you factor in? If you have any thoughts, you know, call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.